think that I chose today's topic because it's my birthday or anything like that. You know how we do things around here, just verse by verse, and this is where we ended up today. And so I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad or uncomfortable or hurt anybody's feelings. It's just, it's in the Bible, and that's where we are, and we're going to preach it. All right, so if you would, please open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Second Thessalonians chapter number 3. Bet you didn't think it was going to take this long to preach through a book in the Bible that's only three chapters, did you? We still got a ways to go. All right. The topic today. Well, what can we say? There are some preachers in this world that they believe that it is their duty to dictate and control every aspect of the lives of the people that make up their congregation, the congregation over which they pastor. Well, God bless their hearts, and more power to them if they want that. God bless them. If they can find a group of people that will sit under that, God bless them. And if they can pull that off in today's world, in this day and age, they've got something going for them that I've certainly never been able to tap into. I'm not interested in that. Maybe it's a personality thing. Maybe it's a biblical interpretation. I don't know. But I don't want you to have to ask me permission before you buy a car or change jobs or move into another apartment building. Okay, I'm not all that interested in making people's personal decisions for them and getting my nose in every little aspect of your life. I mean, it's easy enough for me to get blamed for things when I didn't have anything to do with them. But, you know, I know what my brethren say. I know what they've been taught. I know where they're coming from. They say, well, you know, sheep aren't smart enough to take care of themselves, and so the shepherd has to do it for them. But, hey, biblically, I've just always counted myself as one of the sheep because Jesus is the shepherd. And I've been living with me long enough to know that I couldn't find my way home if the good shepherd didn't go get me and put me on his shoulders and carry me back sometimes. The Bible says in Peter, feed the flock of God which is among you, not under you, among you. So, you know, I'm just saying that there are different approaches. I'm sure you're aware of that. I've talked about this before. My brethren say, well, what about pastoral authority? And the thing about that is, and I've said this before, if you've got to insist on pastoral authority, then you don't have any, no matter what you say. If you've always got to be telling people that you're in charge, then you're not in charge. If you always have to be reminding your wife and your kids that you're the head of the house, guess what? You're not. And if you were, you wouldn't have to be pleading your case all the time. So there are different approaches. And that doesn't mean everybody that doesn't do it our way is wrong. There's more than one road that will take you to Kuwait City. Sure, there's only one way to get to heaven, but there are a lot of ways to enjoy the trip, and I understand that. But there are some verses in the Bible that have to do with the relationship of church leaders to the congregation and the relationship of the congregation to church leaders. And I don't like to preach them because I know you don't like to hear them. But man, if we skipped the verses in the Bible that I didn't like, and then next week we skipped the verses in the Bible you didn't like, and then the week after that we skipped the verses in the Bible somebody else didn't like, we'd just end up in a crystal cathedral hearing testimonies from movie stars. And we know that wouldn't do anybody any good. So let's read 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 4. The Bible says, "And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you." We better pray. Heavenly Father, again we come to you just asking for your guidance and your blessing upon the teaching of your word. Lord, we don't want to leave anything out. We know that everything you put in these pages of scripture are there for a reason. They're important. We need them, and they're there to help us. So help us, Lord, to be open to the leading of your Holy Spirit and to obey your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here, the Apostle Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he said that he had commanded saved people in the church of Thessalonica to do certain things. And he praised them for doing what he commanded. And then he wrote confidently and praised them for his continued hope that they would continue, a future reference, continue to obey his command. And when you say that to a group of people in the 21st century, immediately they begin to get uncomfortable because they're thinking, nobody's going to tell me what to do, which is kind of an odd thing because there's other things, like when your car engine is failing and you don't know how to repair it, you let somebody who does know how to repair it do it for you, tell you what to do. When your body's sick and it's broken, and you don't know how to mend a broken leg or fix a hip that's out of joint or sew up a flesh wound, you go to somebody and they'll say, "Okay, hold out your arm." And are you going to say, "No, you're not going to tell me what to do"? They say, "But we've got to cleanse that wound." "You're not going to tell me what to do." No, that's silly, isn't it? You gladly submit for the sake of your physical body. It benefits you, and you know it. You're submitting to people all day, every day, in different situations. But then we come to church with our marriage in trouble, our child raising on shaky ground, our emotional situation is far from strong, and our spiritual walk, nothing that we'd want to tell anybody about if we had to be honest. And then we just defy anybody to command us to do anything to save that marriage, to save those children, or to bolster that emotional state, or to bring that spiritual life into line where it ought to be. And that kind of defiance, that kind of rebellion, does not prove what a strong, bold, independent Christian you are. It just proves how disobedient to the scriptures you are. "Well, but you're not Paul." I understand that. That's why we open the Bible and we tell you what Paul says. And for you to say, "Well, if I was in the church at Thessalonica and Paul told me, then I'd do it. But when you read to me what Paul said, I don't have to listen to you." You're just embarrassing yourself. I mean, if you would just stop and think about what you were saying, you wouldn't say it. When the Apostle Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when he wrote, "Husbands, love your wives," and then the preacher stands up here in the pulpit and reads to you, "Husbands, love your wives," that is not an option. That's a commandment. And you will do well to obey that command. It will help you if you do. It will not help. It will not do well to list all the excuses and the reasons that you have for not listening to that preacher. It doesn't help you. When the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, and then obey them in all things," The fact that you think you know better than that preacher, you may as well just shout out as loud as you can, "I'm refusing to let God help me." And you can talk like a charismatic or an occult member and say, "Well, yeah, I know what the Bible says, but God led me differently." That's not God. God's not going to lie to you because you don't like what he said. God's not going to lie because you don't like the preacher who told you what he said. God's word stands. And the Bible says here that the Apostle Paul was confident that the saved people who made up this congregation were not all doing their own thing. They were not all making their own independent choices. They were not all plotting their own course through life and then holding that up to God for God to bless it. They were taking the counsel and advice and leadership of those who were declaring to them what God said. What God said. And they didn't run every time God said something they didn't like to go get a second opinion to back them up. You know, if you prefer what the priest or the TV preacher says to what you hear in this place, then you shouldn't be in this place. If you're going to pay somebody to tell you what you wanted to hear because the preacher wouldn't say it for free, then you should just spend your time there instead of in church. If you have no confidence in the Word of God that we preach here, if you don't believe what's being proclaimed from the Word of God in this place, you shouldn't be in this place. And I don't want you to leave, but it doesn't help you to go to a Bible-preaching church if you're not going to take the Word of God as command. As command. It's not a suggestion. It's not a recommendation. It's not one of many options. Thou shalt not bear false witness. That's a command. Thou shalt not steal. That's a command. Honor thy father and thy mother. That's a command. Well, yeah, but you don't know my situation. Then you just need to go find somebody who cares about your situation and doesn't care about what God says. Your situation is most likely because of that attitude. You understand? We've all got situations. When we have those situations, we go to the Word of God for comfort in our situation, or direction in our situation, or relief in our situation, or strength in our situation. That's where we go. We don't make our situation the final authority. And we don't subject God's Word to our situation. You're told what the Bible says. Well, you just don't know who I'm married to. The Bible says, and then you say, well, you just don't know who I'm working for. Yeah, but the Bible says, but you don't know how hard it is to get by on my paycheck. Well, you know, if you've got an excuse for everything the Bible says, if you think your situation makes things different for you, and if that's your attitude, I can't help you. And in fact, God can't help you. The Bible can't help you because you don't care what the Bible says. You know, think about a military situation. All right, company, listen up. We're going to march at daybreak. We're going to keep rank. We're going to take that hill. We're going to flank around to the right side and come up over that ridge. And this private says, "Oh, excuse me, I don't think that's such a good idea, sir." Well, then you need to change what you think, or we'll court-martial you or shoot you. That's a command. From who? Oh, from somebody who knows more about taking hills than a private who just got out of boot camp. All right, so let's look at some things from God's Bible. Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter 2. You know, the devil had an awful lot from God. He had nothing to complain about. He just didn't like having authority over him. And Eve was richly blessed by God. She just didn't like having authority over her. All of us that are saved, we've been blessed beyond measure. But we sure don't like having authority over us. There's something in that Adamic nature that just bows up against any kind of authority and says, nobody's telling me what to do. Command? You're commanding me? Who do you think you are? You know, that's Adam. That's that nature. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Paul, he's not just absent on a mission trip from the church of Philippi today. He's been absent from the body and present with the Lord for close to 2,000 years. He's about as far from being present with us as a person can be. But hey, guess what? I'm still interested in obeying what he said. Okay? What he commanded. Because the Holy Ghost is the one who gave those words to Paul for the members of the New Testament church, and I'm a member. And I don't consider this to be one of many options. I don't consider this to be maybe the best of many good religions. I take the Bible as commands from God. Commands from God. You will do this. You won't do that. You will act this way. You won't act that way. You will abstain from this. You will partake of that. Those are commands. Well, you know, I know witnessing is important, but I just don't like to go and confront people like that. Who cares if you like it or not? I mean, the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and to not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. It's not optional. Well, you know, I'm just not comfortable in prayer meeting. So what? I'm not comfortable wearing a necktie. But look, I got one on. I'm not comfortable wearing church shoes. Boy, I had to fight these shoes this morning. I thought I'd put a coat of polish on them, and it was all over the floor, all over my hands. It was funny. But anyway, I just think it's better than coming to church barefoot and wearing a t-shirt. But you understand, it's a heart matter. Well, I believe the Bible. Well, believe what? That there are some things in there that you can call out that will help you? Or that it's the Word of God? It is the Word of God. I mean, if it's the Word of God, there's really nothing in there that's up for debate. If it's the Word of God, there's really nothing in there for you to give your rebuttal to. And everybody here knows the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. We're supposed to exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How can you exhort me if you're not here? Everybody that doesn't attend faithfully, they know that's what the Bible says. They just don't receive it as a command. You say, command? That's legalism. I'm reading you verses penned by the man who warned you about legalism. So it certainly can't be legalism. I'm reading you verses by the man who said, we are free from the law. Oh, happy condition. So I'm giving you commands. How about Hebrews 13? Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. For you. You know, it's not a good thing to hear the pastor explain to you what the Bible says about that situation, and then go ahead and do contrary to it, and then go through your whole life pretending that you're right with God and that you're in God's will. And then hit the judgment and find out it's not good for you to disobey the Word of God. See, people have this idea that as long as you're sincere, as long as you're devoted, as long as you tell Jesus that you love Him, that it's okay to slap Him in the face. And the Bible says, in the day when the accounts are settled, it won't be a good thing for you to have come to church, to have heard the Word of God, to have read the Bible and learned what it said, and then to have gone ahead and done what you wanted to do. Won't be a good thing. Young man, young lady, I can say that, I'm older today. Maybe not to everybody, but but you hear plenty in this church that appeals to you. And you'll hear plenty in this church, I know, it doesn't appeal to you. And if all we were interested in was appealing to you, we'd have 500 kids in here, and we'd have rock walls to climb and bungees to jump and disco dances on Friday nights. I mean, we could appeal to you. We know what to do if that's what we want to do. But hey, God has given us responsibility. According to the verse we just read, we have a responsibility to watch for your souls, because we know one day we're going to give an account to God for the life that you've lived. And if you choose to live that life contrary to the Word of God, well, it'll be bad for me if I haven't taught you the Word faithfully. But hey, it's going to be bad for you if I did teach it and you ignored it. That's the situation. We've got the long view. You got to keep those things in mind. We got to have that long view, okay? I mean, really, do you understand how big this church would be if we had Rudolph and Santa the reindeer and Frosty the snowman and all that stuff? I mean, if we just went along, but someday we're going to have to give an account to God. And it's going to be bad for me if I don't tell you the truth. And it's going to be bad for you if I tell you the truth and you don't do it. So I want to get me off the hook. I'm preaching the truth. I can't make you listen. Can't make you do it. And I can't get you off the hook. I want to get me off the hook. So, I mean, do you know how big a church we would be if we would just leave that whole husband is the head of the wife thing, you know, if we just would never touch that subject? And if my wife and I were co-pastors, wow, everybody'd come see that. And we let her preach every other week. You know, I preach one week, she preached the next week. That'd be fun. We'd be big. I mean, look, those churches, by the way, they don't get big because they're teaching stuff that's wrong. That's not necessarily the case. They're just big because there's a lot of stuff that is right. It's in the Bible, but they're not going to talk about it at all. They're not going to ever preach on that stuff. Don't touch it. I mean, hey, the more toppings you put on a pizza, the fewer people there are that will like it. You know, isn't that right? When you just serve it with the works, and you're going to have people that say, oh, I don't like that. I don't like mushrooms. I don't like Titus 2. And can I have mine without Acts chapter 2, please? You know, you understand? Do you know what the Bible says? If you're sitting here in the Bible study hour, if you're sitting here on a one-on-one visit, if you're sitting here for the preaching, what God commands and you don't do it, it will be bad for you in the day of judgment. No matter how you think it turned out for you in this life, it's going to be bad for you in the day of judgment. And you've got to stop trying to manipulate God. You know, well, I know what the Bible says, but, you know, I went around over here and I snuck around back this way, and I'm going to do three really good things for God to make up for what I did. You're not fooling God. You can't get around Him. You can't sneak up on His backside. You cannot con God. I wouldn't even try it if I was you. Okay, look at Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel. What a passage this is. Ezekiel chapter 33. People liked to go hear Ezekiel preach because he was a good speaker. That's why they went to the church where Ezekiel pastored. He was a good speaker. He wasn't boring. He didn't speak monotone. They found him entertaining. It's fun to go watch him. Ezekiel 33, verse number 30. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from Ezekiel? No, from the Lord. They knew Ezekiel was teaching and preaching God's word. But they ran him into the ground all week long, talked behind his back all week. You know, I'm glad that doesn't happen around here. Verse 31, and they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice. That's entertainment purpose, isn't it? and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. They come like God's people come. They sit like God's people sit. They listen like God's people listen. They talk like God's people talk. But if they hear a message on forgiveness, they'll say, well, it doesn't apply to that guy because he did something to me that's too bad. I don't have to forgive him. God understands that, I'm sure. Then you're a fool if you think that. You are a stubborn, proud, rebellious, haughty fool. It does apply to you. And it applies to your situation. If you hear a message on bitterness and walk out the door still not wanting to speak to that guy, still not wanting to have a relationship with that guy, still not wanting to make things right with that guy, and you say, well, you just don't know what he did to me. You're proud, stubborn, haughty. You're a fool. You know why? Because you think your position, your situation, your experience gives you an exemption that allows you to call God a liar. God didn't leave room for an exemption. You say, man, Brother Bob, you're using harsh words. I'm not using harsh words. I'm speaking generically in case that might ever be the situation. Okay, I mean, look, if you think the commands of the Bible, preached and taught where you come and sit and go to church and sing praises to God, if you think you don't have to obey them because somehow you're a special case, well, there aren't words hard enough to wake you up. How special do you have to be to disobey God and still be blessed and still be rewarded? How special is that? Well, I can feed my kids the world. I can show them rebellion every single day of their lives. I can sit them down in front of Hollywood. I can let them sit down and plug anything they want to into their ears. And it's okay because what? But what's the because? Because it's you? Well, there goes that preacher again. Getting on that worldly music, getting on that Hollywood and that TV. There he goes again. Just keep talking that way. You know, you talk that way in front of your kids. Teach them not to listen. Teach them to come to church and then to scoff and scorn and turn up their nose at whatever is preached that day. Just go right ahead. Just go home and tear down everything they heard in their Bible class. Go home and tear down everything they hear from the pulpit. And then come and cry and ask for help. Oh God, my kids, they're not coming to church anymore. They won't take my grandkids to church. Well, what did you think was going to happen? That you were going to get a special exemption? That it was going to turn out different for you? Because you're you? The Bible says, be sober-minded. Isn't that what it says? That's a command. That's a command not to touch liquor, not to touch dope, not to touch anything that robs you of full control of your mind and your emotions. That is a command. Well, I was born with it. Yeah, well, we were all born with something. I guess I was born with ugly. You just got to deal with it. Everybody's born with something. You understand? I mean, we got this idea that God wants me to go to church. Okay, that's good. God wants me to go to a good church. That's good. God wants me to go to a church where the Bible is taught. That is good. But you are kidding yourself if you think that there is some sort of blessing that comes from just being in the right place, hearing the right thing. We have got to take God's word as commandment and not option. Not option. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. The Bible says, no gossip. Everybody knows that's what the Bible says. But people gossip, and they call it fellowshipping. People gossip, and they call it concerned talk. Well, you can call it what you want. but it's going to leave you friendless. Sure will. And then you're going to have to talk about everybody just to yourself, because nobody else will talk to you. Matthew 11 and verse 16. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets, and calling unto their fellows, and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Well, wisdom cried out in Proverbs, and the fool walked right on by, didn't want anything to do with it. And the scorner walked right on by, and the simple walked right on by, and they were all destroyed. And the wise turned aside, and then got, after that, 20-some chapters of wisdom and commandment. Why? Because they wanted it. The wise wanted it. So Jesus said, John the Baptist came, and you said that he was too hard. He was too narrow-minded. I came along, and I tried the love approach, and I tried the no-law approach. I tried to sit and have supper with you, and you said I was too liberal, and I was too wishy-washy. And he says, you know what the truth of the matter is? You just don't want it. You just don't want it. Now, I could talk real nice. I've done that once or twice. You know, when we have a lot of visitors, I can be just as nice. I can be as sweet as can be. And then it takes me about 3 weeks to get over it. Then I get up and I'm back at it, ripping and snorting and calling names and rebuking. And you know what? If you want to live for God, you can get a blessing out of both of those things. And if you don't, then you'll find some reason to ignore both of them. Remember when you first got saved? It didn't matter who it was, as long as that guy was talking about Jesus, he was great. It was a great thing to hear. You turned on that Christian radio, they were all good. You know why? Because you just loved Jesus. If he'd have asked you to jump out of a palm tree, you would have said, okay, which one? All right, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. You know, a lot of times when a preacher becomes known for his sound doctrine and for his adherence to the Bible, his love for the Bible, the Word of God, people will contact that preacher for advice. Because they're and a lot of times it's because they're not happy in the church where they're a member. And there's one preacher, this happens to him a lot. And you know, he said that when that happens to him, he tells somebody this at least once a week. That's quite a lot. He tells them you got three options. And he says, I only can find three options in the Bible. And here they are. Number one, get in the best available church in your area, and you be a blessing. Number two, relocate to an area where there's a good church, and be a blessing. Or number three, start a church, and let everybody there criticize you, like you've been criticizing the preacher you're sitting under. He says, that's your only three options, biblical options. But you do not, you won't find this in the Bible. You do not have the option of not sitting under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God and taking it as commandment. And so if you can't sit with that heart condition here, then you need to go somewhere else. And that's for the sake of your walk with God and for your family. And, you know, if it's just for entertainment, like those that went to hear Ezekiel, if it's just, you know, in one ear and out the other ear, then it's not helping you to be here. You've lost respect for the preacher or the leadership of the church. And if that's the case, it's not helping you to be here. I'll say it again. I don't want you to go, but I don't want anybody to go. I want everybody in town to just come and sit right here until, hey, Jesus is Lord over Mangaff, you know, and everybody's saved and everybody's living right and serving God and loving God. But if it's just a pretty song to listen to and you've got no intention of doing anything about what you hear preached, it's not helping you to come. Ephesians 6:1 says, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Is everybody clear on that? Do we need to go to the Greek to explain that? Okay, you got that? Children, not adults. Children, obey your parents. Okay, you got it, right? You say, well, but my mom, I don't see that in here. Yeah, but my dad, I don't see that. Well, I don't see that. I don't see any excuse for you not to obey your parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That is a commandment. It's a commandment. Verse 2, honor thy father and mother, which is the first what? Commandment with promise. Verse 3, that it may be well with thee. This is the long view here. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. All right? So look what you've got to do. You have to have that long range view. You got to look ahead to this promise God's giving here. You say, well, but my daddy's no good. Well, you're not going to be a child forever. Okay, it won't last long. But my mommy's not fair. Well, you're not going to be a child all your life. But while you are a child, obey your parents so that the rest of your life, when you're not a child, but you're an adult, God can bless you. That's what he wants to do, and that's what he says. Okay, Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter number 3. To saved, born again people, Titus chapter number 3, verse number 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. So again, you have the long view here. You have to have that long view. You know what I want? Here's what I want. I want someday for the Lord at the judgment seat to give me rule over cities. Why? Because that's what's offered in the Bible. That is available to the believer, to the born again believer. Now, think about this. Do you think the Lord is going to give you that responsibility, give you the rule over cities if you spent your whole life breaking every rule in the city where you live. Is that how you qualify for rule, by breaking rules? Is that how you qualify to govern, by defying government? Yeah, but they got all these crazy bad rules. Okay, then when we take over, we'll have good rules. It won't be forever. You have to have the long view. The long view. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 3. Uh-oh. You say, I knew he was going to go there. 1 Peter chapter 3. And we'll keep going there until you quit saying, I knew he was going to go there. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Go down to verse number 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Now again, look at the whole principle here. Children, have the long view. You don't have perfect parents, but hey, if you obey them, God will bless you in the long run. Citizens, you don't have a perfect government, but if you'll not go around breaking the law, God will bless you in the long run. Wives, we know you don't have perfect husbands. Have that long view, though. If you will obey them, God will bless you in the long run. The Bible's not hard to understand. Understanding's really, it's not the problem. It's having a heart to receive it as a command rather than an option or a suggestion. That's the issue. That's the problem. Okay, let's go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and let's break this down. Chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4, once again. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you. Now that's a curious phrase. His confidence was not in them. It was in the fact that they were in submission to the Lord. You know, he's saying, I know that you are going to obey as one who is commanded because he really is the Lord. Peter, I always get a laugh out of the Apostle Peter. He's up on the roof one time. Down from heaven comes these hot dogs and ravioli and sausages and pork chops and spare ribs. And Peter looks at all that stuff. And the Lord says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Does that sound like a commandment? It is. But Peter says, not so, comma, Lord. You know what? If he is Lord, you get up and you better start eating. Because that is what he commanded. But then Peter said, well now Lord, wait a minute. I'm a Jew. And God says, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that, Peter. Now Lord, wait a minute. I've never touched anything common or unclean. Oh, thank you, Peter, for filling me in. Now, when you get through telling me why my command doesn't apply to your situation, you do what I told you to do. Then you can call me Lord. How many times have you walked out of church, out of a church service, and we've said in our hearts, not so, Lord. Not so, Lord. Jesus is my Lord, and I'm not about to do what he says. Jesus is the Lord of my life, and I'm not about to obey him. Jesus, he's Lord of Lords, but I will not attend faithfully. I will not give. I will not sacrifice. I will not witness. I will not humble myself. I will not do what the Bible says. But he's my Lord. So easy to do that, isn't it? Because you know there are other churches that aren't doing as much as we are. There are other Christians who aren't living as good as we are. And there are people who don't know as much about the Bible as we do. We can always fall back on the things that we're doing, that we're supposed to do, to justify not doing that other stuff. You know, the Bible says you better get a long view. For we all must appear at the judgment seat of Christ. Better not forget that. Because the Bible makes it clear it will not be well for you in that day. There will be no joy for you in that day if you have not taken God's word as commandment. Okay? Let's read the rest of the verse. Verse 4. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do. And will do the things which we command you. Now here's, isn't this the parent's hope as well? You know, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, let me ask you, is old what you thought it was 20 years ago? When you think of old, doesn't old keep moving? I mean, if a child asks a man how old he is, and the man says, I'm 27, what does that child think? Man, he's old. That guy's old. It's my birthday today. I wish I was that old. I'd settle for an old 37. That'd be all right with me. But now here's the hope. This is what you do with your kids, too. You know, I'm watching you. I'm correcting you. I'm disciplining you. I'm keeping the reins on you. But one day, I'm going to turn you loose. And you're going to keep doing what I've commanded, even when I'm not around. Isn't that the hope we have with our kids? That you'll be able to confidently just let them go and trust they'll do right by God, by God's word? Man, and then there are some men that they put their wife under lock and key. She has no freedom. She can't have a phone. She can't have a car. She can't have a friend. She can't go out of the house. She has to keep a diary. You know, I was here at 5:05. I was here at 5:08. I was here at 5:15. I was here at 5:21. Yes, sir, your majesty, honey. Man, if that's what you want, okay, go ahead, help yourself. Hey, the way I see it, you can get a German shepherd that will do all that, and it won't argue with you, if that's all you want. But I'll tell you what, and this is the truth, it sure is a blessing to be married to a woman who does right whether you're there or not. And it's right, and it's a blessing to be married to a man who does right whether you're there or not. Isn't it nice to know you can trust your husband and you don't have to keep an eye on him all the time? You know he's going to do right? You know what the objective is of Bible preaching, Bible teaching? If that preacher's got a right heart, the teacher's got a right heart, you know what the objective is? It's to get God's people to the place where you are living out there like you're living in here. Your standards don't drop. Your clothing doesn't change. The language doesn't change. Your verbalizing your faith doesn't change. The song that you sing doesn't change. That's the desire. It's not just an immediate obedience under certain restraints and certain limitations here in this room. You know, that's the objective. That's what God wants. And he says that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. All right, we command you. Who's it? Look at chapter 1. Verse number 1. Paul. All right, we know something about Paul. We know his qualifications, right? And Silvanus. You say, well, I never heard of him. Is he an apostle? No. Church planter? I don't know. Not that we know of. Missionary? Don't have any record of it. And then Timotheus. You say, well, he's just a kid. He went to seminary at that great university called Mama and Grandma. Graduated from Rocking Chair Bible College. Well, so who is this? Just three guys that told them what the Word of God said. And they took it as commandment and not as somebody's opinion. You want to see that? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then we'll wrap it up right here. 1 Thessalonians 2. And this is going to be your struggle. Because the better you get to know me, the better you get to know Brother James, the better you get to know any man that stands up in the pulpit, it's going to be a challenge to you to separate the fact that we are faulty, weak, struggling men, just like you are. But that God's Word is still God's Word, and it's still a matter of commandment. It's a very difficult thing to do. It's hard for a preacher to stay in one church for a long time. You get to know him, and after a while, the pedestal that you built for him shrinks until it disappears. And he's not the one that built it. It kind of fell on him when he was younger. And he's not about to build another one. But 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us," you heard us preach it, "ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God." So do you see the key to that thing? I have got to hear God's word. That's essential. I've got to hear God's word, and the only way I'm going to hear it is if it comes out of the mouth of men. God's not, you don't hear God's voice coming out of the heavens. and so when we hear God's word from a man's mouth, we got to make sure we don't forget that it's still God's word just because men are delivering it. The end of the verse says, "which effectually worketh also in you that believe." In you that believe. See, if you hear God's word, but don't take it in your heart as a command from God, even though men spoke it, it will not have any effect on your marriage. It won't have any effect upon your child raising. It won't have any effect upon your prayer life. It won't have any effect on your personal life. It won't have any effect upon where you go, what you do, what you say, who you are with. I mean, I used to be amazed when I was younger, you know, 30, 31, when I was just a kid. I used to marvel. How can that person come to church three times a week and then do that? But what have we learned? Hearing the preaching and doing something about it, that's two different things. Learning it and taking it as commandments from God, those are two different things. I'm telling you, listen, if you're excited about the Lord, if you're happy in God, if you're on fire for God, I pray daily that you'll stay right there. If you're not, I pray that you'll turn over whatever's crept into your life that's robbed you of that joy and get excited, get happy, get on fire for God again or for the first time. I pray every single day. But if you honestly and sincerely believe that I'm the problem or my wife is the problem or the leadership of this church is the problem or the way we do things is the problem, then, hey, for the well-being of your soul and your family, you need to go somewhere else. I mean, listen, you need to go someplace where you can get excited about Jesus. And I don't want anybody to go. But I don't want you to sit here for another 10 years not listening, because I know that doesn't help you. Doesn't help me. Doesn't help us. You know, whenever preachers go preach in other churches, a lot of times there will be a member of that church, that home church there, and they'll go up to the guest preacher and they'll say out loud, "Brother, that was so good. I've never heard anything like that. I just never seen that before." And he's in earshot of his own pastor. He's standing right there and he says, "I preached on that 3 weeks ago." And he did. That happens all the time. But you know what? That the problem in that situation is that his pastor had just become like Charlie Brown's school teacher to that guy. Because all he was hearing, the preacher would get up there and preach, and he's out there in the congregation listening, but all he hears is, "Wah, wah, 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 wah." That's all he's getting out of the preaching. And so people, they love it when a guest preacher comes to give a message. Man, after the preaching, they go up to that guy and say, "Oh, brother, it's just so good to hear some good preaching for a change." And his pastor and the pastor's wife, they're standing right there. People don't think sometimes. But the thing is, that guest preacher, he's not the best preacher that his own congregation has ever heard, because they've heard it, and they've heard it, and they've heard it, and then it's like, well, there he goes again. Oh, he's going to get on that horse and ride it again. It's a hard thing to keep a good church good, because I'm going to get to know you real good, and you're going to get to know me real good, and after a while we're going to forget that's God's word that we're hearing and that we're reading and that we're having preached to us and that's being taught. And if you get to a place where you can't hear it anymore in this building, you need to go somewhere else where you will hear it. And I don't want you to go somewhere else. I'm not trying to get rid of anybody. No. I want the Word of God to help you. I mean, listen, you're not going to live long enough to waste 10 years going to a church that you don't want to be in. Now, you could want to be in this church. That could happen by this time tomorrow morning. If you would just spend all night in prayer and get all that bitterness and resentment and other stuff out of your heart. But if you're not going to do it, you ought to get somewhere where and just go sit under a guy that's saying the exact same things that I'm saying, but it's not me. And then you'll say, boy, this is a great preacher. I haven't heard any preaching like this in years. But anyway, Paul commanded the Thessalonians, and they didn't bow up and say, who are you to tell us what to do? They figured a guy that's telling them what God said was worth listening to. And you can say what you want. I mean, every church and every preacher, they've got a little bit different way of doing things. And but if there aren't very many, I mean, you know, there's not very many places you can go these days and just hear verse after verse after verse right from the Bible. And it is the Bible. It is Bible. It's God's Word. Don't forget that it's God's Word. Amen. Today's word is love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And that's a commandment. So start doing it. But hey, please, just don't. All I'm saying is don't get to the place where this is just something you do out of routine. Please don't get to the place where you're just coming to hear what the preacher's going to say this week. Keep your heart in a spot where you get up to go to church to hear something from the Word of God. And take it to heart as a commandment and do something about it. Be prepared to do something about what you hear from God's Word. Amen. Let's stand and we'll pray and sing a hymn before we take a break. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for every word in your Holy Scriptures. Help us, Lord, to keep in mind that though we live in a world, Lord, that's not perfect. We don't have a perfect spouse. We don't have a perfect government, and we don't have perfect parents. Lord, help us to remember that you've got something waiting for us if we'll just obey what you've told us to do, if we'll obey your commandments in the Scriptures exactly as you've told us. Help us, Lord, to not resist what you say, not to make excuses, not to think that we are exempt from anything that you say. Help us to be prepared to change anything in our hearts, in our lives that needs changing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.